Welcome, ladies and gents. You want a Jasper cameo? You got a Jasper cameo. There you go. Done. So this is an interesting video. I think personally, and I do genuinely find it interesting. This is just the state of YouTube on a whole, and the state of its leadership, and definitely worthwhile discussing because it's the platform that you guys enjoy. It's the platform that obviously your favorite creators. I mean, you're watching me, so I'm a creator you watch. Whether I'm one that you like, I don't know, but you know, it's the platform that we've all used to connect ourselves to one another, hasn't it? But the CEO is using it as her personal vehicle for, well, just personal gain and censorship and just trying to control, basically. It's all about control at the end of the day. And this is supposed to be the platform, you know, they talk about free speech and stuff. I mean, it's wholly not. So YouTube CEO Susan Wojcicki advocates for governments to pass laws restricting speech so YouTube can enforce them. Now, I think what is potentially so alarming about this is that, you know, who do you listen to? Who do you think, you know, should be the arbiter of what you can and can't say? You know, who do you listen to? Do you listen to the American government? Do you listen to any one particular leaning government? Do you listen to the UK? If so, you know, are you listening to the Conservatives? Are you listening to Labour, the Lib Dems? You know, where do we go from this? Where do we go from here? You know, there's a certain level of, I guess it's just sheer comedy, isn't it? When, you know, you get the Taliban being allowed over on Twitter, and then you had Donald Trump banned from Twitter. Like, what is going on? It's just strange. We just live in a very strange world. Like the Ayatollah as well. Like, there is allowed to say whatever he wants over on Twitter and it doesn't get banned, does it? Like, it's so odd. But I just thought this was fascinating because this obviously is directly pertaining to where we communicate together, where you come to watch me and, you know, I come to deliver these videos, and we all, you know, this is our forum, isn't it? So in a recent interview, YouTube CEO Susan Wojcicki advocated for governments to pass new laws restricting speech so that she and YouTube can enforce them. Why do you have to be, you know, why do you have to be dictated to by the government either, Susan? Like, is it just because at that point you've got a scapegoat? You can just say, well, the government passed it, so we're just enforcing it. But if you're personally advocating for that to happen, then I mean, you might as well just do it anyway. Like, you don't need a scapegoat, do you? You got some conviction behind your actions. So Wojcicki's anti-free speech stance came during an appearance on TIDETV, Hamburg's YouTube channel, as part of their A Distinguished Conversation series, which is moderated by Dr. Matthias C. Kettmann. Wojcicki was joined by Dr. Wolfgang Schultz, the director of the Leibniz Institute of Media Research. So this is what. So during the discussion, Wojcicki revealed that YouTube rolled out an entirely 100% machine automated content moderation system, which is awful, by the way. Like, it's very, very stressful to work with. Like, just as a, like, I guess, like a peek behind the curtain, like, videos get held for review immediately if there's just one thing that the system doesn't like. It doesn't tell you what that one thing is, by the way. It could literally just be one word. So I did the video on Alec Baldwin yesterday. I mean, it released at midnight. And I think because I had death in the title, or lawsuit, I don't know. But boom, that was held. Like, and you don't earn anything from it, because it has to then be put to a human to be reviewed. But then how, you know, I mean, there's biases there anyway. So it's a real pain in the ass to work with. But anyway, she stated, we actually built a system to move 100% to machines because we knew the pandemic was coming. We knew that we were going to have to lose our workers. And in a couple of weeks, we built this 100% automated system to manage content moderation. So maybe it doesn't even go to a human anymore. Who knows? Like, this is the thing. YouTube doesn't tell us anything. They're just full of shit, really. And I like YouTube, but everything that they bring in is restrictive. It doesn't make it any better. There's no, it's all about removal of things. There's no actual evolution of the platform. it's always a case of, well, let's restrict this. Let's remove this code here that allows you to do this. It's never, you know, hey, there's this great thing. Let's just make it. It's always restricting. It's always pulling it down. You know, everything that YouTube had before, they're just removing stuff, the likes, the dislikes. You know, there was the great way that you could respond to videos directly. And, you know, and all of this actually helped the system work quite well. It's a very strange thing that we live in where there's this, and it is a great platform. YouTube is a great platform. But they're just looking to destroy it. I mean, that is all they're doing. They're destroying elements of it. So from there, Wojcicki described how their content moderation system previously worked before they switched to 100% automation. We use our machines basically to go out and cast a new and identity or you know, identify what is content that could be problematic. And then we use the human reviewers to say, yes, it is problematic or no, it's not. Their adult content, for example, that's very easy to identify with machines, but something hate and harassment has a lot of nuance and context and can be mixed with political speech. And there's where we would want to have humans spend more time understanding the context to make the right decisions. But isn't that fascinating? Because that you know, implicitly relies on bias there, because it is purely subjective. Like, it's absolutely subjective. Like, there are some videos from Ethan Klein that would be, that are titled hate and harassment, but he doesn't ever get penalized because, you know, he's on the right side of whatever YouTube deems to be correct at that point in time, which is just, it's just nonsense, because then as someone who's on the platform making stuff, you don't know what you can or can't say. And you do have to, I mean, I don't really censor myself at all, hence why, you know, videos get buried all the time. But, you know, most people do censor themselves, and it's garbage. Because then you're not getting the true YouTube, you know, it's supposed to be us. You know, you, me, you, everyone. She then described how the 100% automated system works. Basically, we built the system that worked entirely with machines, and we used the small set of full-time employees to handle the appeals. When people said, no, you made a mistake, can you check? So we used our full-time employees for that. She went on to admit this strategy did not work out as well as they had planned, as they made mistakes and possibly crushed numerous small businesses. Yep, without a shadow of doubt. And with those mistakes being made, Wojcicki says they've gone back to using a combination of machines and people. Fascinating. And FYI, like, when they first brought this in, some videos weren't getting reviewed for like a few months. Some of them, like the most egregious offenders, like not even like a year or so. It's outrageous. After briefly detailing how their content moderation system works, Kettman asked, you've mentioned the important position that YouTube has in how to deal with content, whether to downrank it, to demonetize it, depending on the jurisdiction you're in. In some countries like Germany, courts have taken a rather strong position on the limits of what platforms can do, whether they must not act arbitrarily or that they have to stick to their standards and implement them. He said, so how does that work in practice? Perhaps you can elaborate a bit on that. How do you make sure that in light of the many different jurisdictions you have to navigate this minefield between national jurisdictions, between keeping advertisers happy, between keeping users interested? Oh, what a great response. This is what she says. First of all, I'll say that we work around the globe, and you're right, certainly. There are many different laws and many different jurisdictions, and we can enforce the laws of the various jurisdictions around speech or what's considered safe or not safe. That's true for democratically elected governments. It might get a little bit more complicated in non-democratically governments. So basically, we enforce those laws. That actually hasn't been the controversial part. What has been the controversial part has been when there is content that would be deemed as harmful, but yet is not illegal. An example of that, for example, would be COVID. I'm not aware of there being any laws by government around COVID in terms of not being able to debate the efficacy of masks or where the virus came from or the right treatment or proposal. But yet there was a lot of pressure and concern about us distributing misinformation. But you're the one that's deeming what's misinformation. It's outrageous. That went against what was considered the standard and accepted medical knowledge. But that changes all the bloody time, you idiots. So this category of harmful but legal has been, I think, where the most discussion has been. Check this out. She continues. Whenever this woman speaks, it just makes everyone who's on this platform groan. It really does. For us, we look at that content and we think about the role that we play in society. We want to be doing the right thing for our users and for our creators. We also generate revenue from advertisers, and they've had a massive boom recently. They've taken a lot of profit. And we're serving content that is seen by our advertising community as not benefiting society. Now, advertiser is going to want to appear on that. And they're certainly not going to even want to appear on a different, you know, content that is positive if they think the platform as a whole is not being responsible. They just want money. So we're generally very aligned. Responsibility is good for our business, and we have over 2 million creators on our platform that we share revenue with. So if we aren't generating revenue for them, then that's a problem for our creators. They create beautiful and incredible content, and we share the majority of revenue with them. You take from us. And you don't tell us how to sort it out. I think governments can always, our recommendation, if governments want to have more control of online speech, oh my God, is to pass laws to have that be very cleanly and clearly defined such that we can implement it. Please oppress me harder, daddy. There are times that we see the laws being implemented or being suggested that they're not necessarily clean or possible for us to cleanly interpret them. But what if one law is passed which contradicts another in a different jurisdiction? Literally one rule for them, none for another. It's just a joke. What absolute bunch of dipshits these people are. Anyway, she continues further and says, we've also seen sometimes there's laws passed just for the internet as opposed to for all speech. That's actually in the UK, believe it or not. We have less free speech online than we do in person in the UK. I do think that's a dangerous area when we start to get in and say, oh, sure, you could say something like this in a magazine or on TV, but you can't say it on the internet. Yeah, literally the UK. Oh my God, please let me know what you think of this absolute shit show down below in the comments. YouTube doesn't like free speech. Take care.